Turning the Word of God tonight to the book of Ephesians, the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning to read together at verse number 1. Ephesians 2, reading from verse number 1, please. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Let's hear the Word of God. And you have they quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer as we come now to look at this portion together. Let's all pray. Again, all the Lord's people, lay hold on the Lord, and let's seek him now for his blessing and for his power and for the movings of the Spirit, even in this meeting. Let's all pray to that end. Almighty God and Father in heaven, again in the blessed and holy name of thy Son and our only Lord, we approach thee now upon the ground of redemption. We thank thee, as we've been reading here, but we're brought nigh by the blood of Christ. We thank thee before the throne tonight. There is our blessed Lord Jesus, pleading the merits of his blood, the triumph of his cross. We thank thee, the royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. We thank thee for the one who trod the winepress alone, and led captivity captive, and received gifts for men. O God, we cry to thee, remember us now in this meeting. Give us a more definite sense of thy presence. We thank you for your presence thus far. We pray it will intensify now in this gathering. O God, speak to the sinner, speak to the saint. Bless the word, apply it to every heart. Lord, I confess afresh my inadequacy to deal with what is before me in this meeting. I lay my life afresh before God. Take everything from me that'll hinder. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power. O God, I have need for that baptism, that holy unction, that alone the Spirit of God can give. Grant it now, we pray. Shut us in with God. Bind the devil and every demonic influence. And may the holy blood prevail. And may Christ be exalted. And God's blessed name glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of Ephesians, as I'm sure you know, was written by the Apostle Paul himself. Paul was the founder of this church in the great ancient city of Ephesus. It was formed on one of Paul's missionary journeys, and we haven't really turned to it now, but Acts chapter 19 records when that church was formed. Really, what happened there was a breath of revival. God moved by the Spirit. And what happened was multitudes were saved. Multitudes left false religion and idol worship. and came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, in writing this letter here to them, he's writing from his prison cell. While he was in Rome, he was a prisoner. We glean that truth from a couple of verses. Look with me at Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, or Ephesians 4, verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul's writing this letter to them here from jail, from his prison cell, to these people that he could never forget. He had been the Lord's servant who had labored among them and seen them converted to Jesus Christ. And from prison, they're on his heart. And he writes this letter to them. And in that letter, in this letter, we have many great truths that still to this day thrill the heart of the child of God. Chapter 1, he reminds them what they have in Jesus Christ, in their union with Christ. Chapter 2, where we've read, he speaks again of being saved by grace. That marvelous word, grace, means unmerited favor. And anyone in this meeting that's saved knows that. It was unmerited, it was undeserving, and yet grace reached us. And grace saved us. And Paul tells these Ephesian believers that they were saved by grace. Not of themselves, not of their own works, lest any man should boast. Chapter 3, we have his prayer for them. And a marvelous prayer it is. Even out of the prison cell, he said to them, for this cause I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He prays for them, that they might be strengthened, that they might be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. But it is chapter 2 that we want to look at here tonight. Chapter 2, and especially those words at the end of verse 12. And with these words, dear unsaved in the meeting, I want to address you, because they are so applicable to you. The end of verse 12 says this, having no hope without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. When someone on earth tells us that we have no hope, well, sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not right. But when God Almighty tells you the way you are, you have no hope, you've got to stop and listen. You've got to stop right where you are and listen. Without God, having no hope without God in this world. And dear unsaved friend in this meeting, that's what I want to speak to you tonight about. The sinner with no hope. The sinner with no hope. Firstly, I want to show you this. No hope in life. No hope in life the way you are. Let's read verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Dear unsaved, I want you to understand, your situation tonight before God can rightly be described as terrifying. That's the only way you could describe it. If we're all honest before God tonight, and we've got to be, the only way we could describe your position right now is terrifying. You're a breath from perishing. And God tells you before that breath comes, you have no hope. But I want you to see from this text that the reason you have no hope is that you're described, sinner friend, in verse 12. Look at the beginning of it. Without Christ, there's why you have no hope. And the last phrase, without God in the world. Remember the setting here. Paul is speaking to believers. He's reminding them of what they were before they got saved. He's reminding them of the plight that they were in. Their state before God, they were rightly said, rightly described, no hope without Christ, without God in this world. Look at verse 1 with me. Dear unsaved, I want you to see this because God is describing you right down to the T. Verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. There you are, spiritually dead. Verse number 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Your course in life, the way you're taking, it's all directed by the devil. It's the way of the world. Look at verse number 3, the very end of the verse. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. There it is, your enmity with God. You're an enemy of God in this meeting. You say, preacher, that is too strong. That is not too strong. Your life is at enmity with God. Understand that. Your situation before God in this meeting is rightly described as terrifying. Because you're a breath from perishing. And our text tells you why. You're without Christ. Without God in this world. Sinner friend, read how the Holy Ghost describes you in the pages of Holy Writ. Without Christ. Having no hope. Without God in this world. Sinner, you were born without Christ. You entered this world without Christ. You entered this world in Adam, and you're still without Christ. You see, Adam, in that Garden of Eden, he was made under the covenant of works. It was a covenant with promise. Obey me, live forever. Disobey me, and you'll die. But understand this, dear unsaved friend, Adam in the garden represented you, and he represented me. And when he disobeyed God, we disobeyed God. Communion with God was broken. Communion with the one that Adam had previously walked with was broken. And what did God do? Bible says he drove out the man. He drove Adam out of the garden. The Garden of Eden was symbolic of the presence of God, where Adam communed with God. But when he disobeyed him, communion was broken and he was driven out. And we were driven out in him. And what's more, God placed at the Garden of Eden, at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to show to Adam and to show to you there was no way back, apart from on God's terms. Apart from on God's terms. The flaming sword speaks of the justice of God, as we heard last week from the Reverend Greer. There was no way back for man, but that God intervened in the human race. But sinner friend, there's how you were born. Outside of Christ, without God, without hope, without God in this world. Look at verse 2 again. Paul's reminding these believers that they were once under the control of the prince of the power of the air, the devil, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Listen, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, it's present tense. The spirit that now worketh, right now, in the children of disobedience. Listen, dear unsaved friend, every time you walk out of a gospel meeting without Jesus Christ, be not mistaken, it's the spirit of disobedience. Every thought that comes into your mind, be not mistaken, every thought that comes into your mind as to why you shouldn't get saved now, as to why you couldn't come to Jesus Christ now, is from the devil. Full stop. Full stop. That's where it came from. Every thought that causes you to put off the moment of your salvation is a satanic thought. And that's where it came from. Because God says now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. See your awful plight. You're in your sin. Your rebellion. Your Christ rejection. And in that condition the Bible says you have no hope. A breath from perishing. A breath from being lost. All you've done in your life to this moment, whatever age you are, all you've done in your life to this moment has not got you one step nearer heaven. Not one step. In fact, it has taken you further away. Because every step you've taken on this journey of life that you're on, without Christ, having no hope, without God in this world, every step you have taken is getting you nearer and nearer by the moment
to your final step. To your final step. And God is telling you, you take it out of Christ, you have no hope. In life, as you live your life right now, in this condition without Christ, there is no hope. There's no hope in life. There's no hope in death. There's no hope in death. Turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 18. Job chapter 18. Any sinner that dies out of Jesus Christ, there's no hope. Don't you understand that? Job chapter 18, verse 17 and 18. Read with me there. Here, speaking of the death of the sinner. Job 18, verse 17 and 18. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Oh, sinner friend, see it. He would love to have stayed, but he's died in his sin, and the Bible says he's driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. See those words. Chased out of time into eternity without Christ and without any hope whatsoever. Because he's died in his sin. Oh, sinner, see the end of sin and Christ's rejection. Driven from light into darkness. See the terms. Driven from light into darkness. The sinner chased out of the world. What a sin. Rightly described, you have no hope. You have no hope. Let's turn to a day when that happened. Matthew 24. Please turn to Matthew 24. It's our Lord Jesus preaching here. He's telling us of a day way back in the book of Genesis, when God destroyed the world by a flood because of its sin and because of its wickedness. But I want you to see the way Jesus Christ describes this day. Here's the greatest preacher. Here's the Savior himself. And he's preaching. And he's taking them back 4,000 years to Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7. And he's telling them of a day that multitudes were driven from light into darkness. That multitudes were chased out of this world. Read with me. Verse number 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. And when it says took them all away, it's speaking of their souls. Took them all away. And knew not. And when it says knew not, it doesn't mean they weren't warned. It means they did not believe the message that Noah preached. They didn't believe that God was going to do what God said he was going to do. And the Lord Jesus says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't believe what Noah told them, that the day of reckoning was coming for their sin, that the day of accountability was on its way. They didn't believe it. But dear sinner, they believed it when the flood came and drove them from light into darkness, and drove them from time into God's eternity, and chased them out of the world into everlasting hell. Then they believed it. How do we know they went to hell? 1 Peter, turn there please. 1 Peter, here's where they were drove to, here's where they were chased to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 19, rather. By which also he went
and preached unto the spirits in prison. Note those words, spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. What it's saying is this, in the days of Noah, Noah preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ to them. And then the flood came and took them away, and they're now, as Peter writes, the spirits in prison, which means the souls in hell. Yes, they were preached to. They were preached Christ. 120 years Noah preached to them, and they didn't believe the message, because the Lord Jesus said, and knew not, until the flood came and chased them and drove them from time into God's eternity and from life into God's hell. That's where they were chased to. Now you see, dear unsaved friend, why your situation can rightly be described as terrifying. Death, they had no hope. I trust it's beginning to sink into your heart, your plight here tonight. Turn with me to another verse. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Here's Solomon. He's writing of what he saw in his day. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Oh, dear friend, see it. Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried, and they had come and gone from the place of the holy. They had come and gone from the house of God. They had come and gone from the place of worship. They'd been in the temple. They had seen the sacrifice that all pointed to Jesus Christ. And Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried, even those that had been in the temple. And they were damned because they never had Christ. And they died without hope. They had come and gone from the place of the holy. They had come and gone, and to put it in our terms, from church. Week after week. Never came to faith in Jesus Christ. Died in their sin. Died without hope. Look at verse number 11. Why did they not come? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. There it is. They thought they would get off with their sin forever. Because God didn't judge it instantly, they thought that was the way it was always going to be. So they continued in their sin. They continued in this downward spiral, until death came suddenly. And Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried, even those that had come and gone from the place of the holy. Sinner friend, understand this. Be sure your sin will find you out. Thus saith God Almighty. Don't imagine in your heart, because you have lived to this moment and you have got away without coming to Jesus Christ, that that is going to continue forever. Sooner or later, sinner, it ends. Sooner or later. And God's telling you in this text, if it ends without Christ, it ends without hope. I've showed you these different people here. Noah's day and their wickedness. Then these in Solomon's day. They had come and gone from the temple worship, but they never came to Jesus Christ. As old J.C. Ryle said, you don't have to be a great sinner to go to hell.
just keep going to church and never come to Christ. Just keep listening and never believing. And by, you'll end up in hell. Life with no hope. Death with no hope. Turn with me to Luke 17. Let me show you another people. Luke chapter 17. Again, Christ the preacher. This is the parallel portion from Matthew 24. And he's just told them about Noah. The flood came and destroyed them all. But look at verse 28. Likewise, Luke 17, 28. Likewise, in other words, the same as what happened in Noah's day, happened in Lot's day. Also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Sinner, read it. In death, they had no hope. In Noah's day, they had no hope. For they were found without Jesus Christ. They were found without God. They were found in their sin. And wouldn't it be awful if there was another likewise that we added? Likewise as the days of Noah. Likewise as the days of Lot. Likewise in 2013. Those that had come and gone from the place of the holy died without hope. Because they died without Jesus Christ. Because they died without an anchor for their soul. No hope in life. No hope in death. No hope in judgment. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 46. Christ preaching. He's describing the great day of judgment. Record it therefore as in Revelation 20. And sinner friend, he's describing people like you. He's describing those that in life didn't have Christ. He's describing those that had died without Christ. Died in their sin. Died in their rebellion. And in Matthew 25, 46, he says this. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Young people, older people, whatever age bracket you come into tonight, out of Christ in this meeting, hear your end. If you die out of Christ, these. Oh, the plurality of that number. These. And the omniscient Christ sees them there and he says, these shall go away. Those that were driven from light into darkness. Those that were chased out of the world. Chased from time into eternity. These shall go away. These that had come and gone from the holy. But they'd come and gone without Christ. And they left church the way they went into it without Christ. And then they left it without hope. And the Lord Jesus said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Because, sinner friend, it's the day of reckoning. It's the day when your sin finds you out.
It's the day when all the wrongs are put right. When you're chased out of this world and you stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, sinner, be not mistaken. We all meet Jesus Christ. Saint and sinner alike. We all meet Christ. We all see his wounds. Saint and sinner alike. But sinner, let me ask you something. And you asked it right now in your soul. How on earth are you going to meet Jesus Christ in your sin? How on earth are you going to do that? You've died without him. You've rejected him your whole life long. But this book is clear. You are going to meet Jesus Christ. Saints will meet him as Savior and fall adoringly before his feet. Sinners will meet him and tremble and wish that breath had never been in their body and wish they had never been born. Be not mistaken. As death finds you, judgment receives you. If death finds you unforgiven, sinner friend, you're not going to be forgiven when you meet Jesus Christ. Christ will forgive you now. He will not forgive you in eternity. Young person, Christ will forgive you now. He won't forgive you if you meet him in eternity. God will never forgive you if you meet him in eternity in your sin. He will never, ever forgive you for rejecting his son, for your sin against his law, for your blaspheming of his name. God will never, ever forgive you. Never. Nobody gets forgiven after death. Reconciliation with God is on this side of eternity, not the other side. An unsaved friend, do you see why your situation's terrifying? You're a breath from the other side. Do you understand that? If you die out of Jesus Christ right now, God will never forgive you and you have no hope. And the point is, you could die right now. And so could I. But this gamble that you're taking, this game that you seem intent on playing with your soul, is absolute madness. Because sinner like that, you'll lose it. And God will never forgive you. God will never forgive you. For you lived without Christ and no hope. You've died without Christ and no hope. You stand before Christ in judgment and no hope. And now you're going to go to hell with no hope. Now, sinner, let me ask you something. In the light of this, are the fleeting pleasures of sin all worth it? Are they all worth it? When in the fires of eternal hell, to the torment of your mind, you recall, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And that is exactly what has happened to ye. You've perished. You're perishing. And you've lost out on everlasting life. And you've died with no hope. And you've entered hell where men curse God forever. And the sin that you loved has damned you, and its desire still rages through your soul. And you've entered that madhouse of sin and hell where all common grace is gone and every restraint is lifted, and it's a place given over to the hatred of God, where the fury, the never-ending fury of God, is poured out upon you forever. These shall go away. These shall go away. I tell you, friend, there is such a thing as the fury of God. Noah's generation found out about it. Sodom and Gomorrah found out about it. And sinner friend, in this meeting, you're going to find out about it if you die without Christ. You are going to feel the full force of divine fury. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Nahum. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There's a verse here that describes the fury of God. Nahum 1 verse, we'll read 5 and 6. The mountains quake at them, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Sinner friend, see the one you've offended. The fierceness of his anger. His fury. And now you leave judgment and you enter into the caverns of lost souls without hope. I tell you, friend, it's the despair of the damned under divine fury. In time they were told to come. Now they can't come. In life, preacher after preacher told them to repent and believe the gospel as best they could and as well as they knew how. And now you can't repent because all grace is removed. And you've lost your soul. And you're there over a preacher's prayers and over a congregation's love. Maybe over a mother's tears, and all hope is gone forever because you never had Christ and you've died without him and you're lost. Oh, that word lost, the hopelessness of it, lost in eternity. You say, preacher, I know I have no hope. The way I am, what am I to do? Is there any hope for a lost sinner like me? Sinner, are you beginning to feel your lostness? Are you beginning to feel your sin? Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Because, yes, there's hope. Remember who Paul's preaching to here. He's preaching to Christians. Verse number 13 we read, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Dear unsaved, listen to me. Jesus Christ in the incarnation took our humanity, and listen, he entered into life,
He entered into death. He entered into judgment to give sinners a sure and certain hope. Oh yes, without Christ in life, you have no hope if you remain in that condition. But Christ entered into life, into time. In the incarnation of our Lord, He took our humanity. He entered into life. He entered into death. He entered into judgment for our sin. He paid the hell that we should have paid to give us a sure and certain hope. That's what Christ did. Because at the cross there was judgment. At the cross there was the divine fury. At the cross there was divine wrath. At the cross there was death and the sword of justice that kept the way of the tree of life in Genesis 3 awoke against Christ. But sinner friend, listen to me. For all who trust Him now, it rests in atoning, sacrificial, precious, sacred blood. Christ entered into life, death, and judgment for sinners that have no hope. No hope in yourself, sinner. But in Christ, there's this sure and certain hope. Paul describes these believers, he says, having no hope without God in the world. There's the key phrase. Without God, without Christ, there is no hope. But in Christ, there is this sure and certain hope. Sinner, understand this. God at the cross of Calvary did not spare Jesus Christ. He poured His wrath upon Him. And sinner friend, in this meeting, if God didn't spare Christ, God is not going to spare you. If God didn't spare Christ when imputed to His account was the guilt of His people, sinner, He's not going to spare you if you die out of Christ. But listen, Calvary guarantees your pardon if you come to Christ. But understand something else. Calvary guarantees your damnation if you don't. Because Calvary is the testimony that God deals with sin. You come to Christ, you will be pardoned, you will be forgiven, you will be saved. You never come to Christ, Calvary guarantees you're damned. It guarantees it. Sinner, is it not time you came to Jesus Christ? This text is clear. Without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world, let's understand it. The reason they had no hope was there was a time in their life that they didn't have Christ. They didn't have the Lord, but now they have Him. Now He's theirs. Now they've been redeemed. Now they've been saved. But sinner, some in this meeting are still without Him. Without God, no anchor for their soul, as we've been singing about. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Look with me there at verse number 19. Hebrews 6. In fact, we'll read 18 to get the setting. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Sinner, do you see it? Here were a people, Hebrew believers, and there was a moment in their life, a time in their life when they fled for refuge. And they fled to the anchor of the soul. Jesus Christ. And now in Christ they're sure. In Christ they're steadfast. Sinner, the anchor for your soul is sure as Jehovah's throne.
because the anchor for the soul is Jehovah. Jehovah, our righteousness. There's the anchor for your soul. There's that unmovable, sure, steadfast, everlasting life that's available to you tonight in Jesus Christ. But sinner, you must come to Him. Some of you have been coming and going from the house of the holy for years. And still the Savior stands as the anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. You come into the holy. You leave the house of God. Week by week, you hear of Jesus the mighty to save. Week by week, you sing hymns about the atoning blood. Week by week, you take the name of Jesus Christ on your lips with the congregation, and you sing with the tune that the organ and the piano play. And yet you know Him not. It's only a song. Because He's not your Lord. He never redeemed you. You never came to Him. Sinner, is it not time to come to Christ? Young person, older person, you'll all make a decision within the next few moments. That's the way it is. You'll all make a decision. You who don't have Christ. And you'll either decide to leave this meeting without Him, or you'll decide tonight, I'll have Christ. But you will make that decision. And God watches on. Let me remind you what I said earlier. Every thought that comes into your heart right now as to why you shouldn't come to Jesus Christ is from Satan. Let's get it clear. Every thought that's holding you back is from the devil. Every thought that tells you you need to come now is the Holy Ghost prompting you, drawing you for pardon, for cleansing in Jesus' blood. Sinner, it's time to come to Christ. And Jesus said, in John chapter 6, as He preached at the feast, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. And sinner, you've come into this meeting without Christ. You can leave it, knowing the joy of sins forgiven, having found peace with God through the blood of the cross. That blood will cleanse you from all your sin. It will prepare you in a moment for heaven. And if you die before the night's out, heaven's gates will open and receive you to be forever with God and the Lamb. But you've got to come to Christ. You've got to come to Him now. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. And while all the Lord's people are praying, and praying for you, dear unsaved friend, is it not time you were saved? Right now, lift your heart heavenward. Ask the Lord to save you. Call upon Him. Repent of sin. He'll save you now. Sinner friend, come to Christ. Know that soul of yours saved. Christ still the lover of the soul. He'll save you now. If you want to speak to me, make it known at the door. I'll speak to you in the minister's room. We have all the time in the world. There's nothing more important than the salvation of your soul. Sinner, come to Christ now. May God give you grace to come. Father in heaven, take thy word, bless it to every heart. Take all that's been of thee, apply it savingly by the Spirit. And, O God, answer prayer. Let the blood prevail. May dear souls pass from death unto life, and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.